Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and relax, and let's chat about or catch up on what is going on up in the stars in the sky. I am so happy to be back with you this morning. It's been a whole week, and I don't know where the time goes, especially been busy here at my house. Also trying to get over a nasty cold and totally forgetting to do the things that I'm supposed to do in the morning, like turn my phone off, to get back into the swing of things here. This morning I was like, oh my gosh, I have to get ready for my show. And I'm looking around thinking, oh my God, where's Wyatt? He didn't go home until late last evening. And so I miss my little Y guy running around. He was so adorable. Oh my gosh. And I told my husband last night, I said, I'm just weary. I am weary. And I'm wondering how all of you are doing out there, because it seems like I've just been, you know, this rag doll being moved from one thing to another and up and down and all around. And not that any of it's been, you know, really bad. I mean, certainly being sick wasn't fun. And then having a one-year-old right as you're recovering from that wasn't, you know, fun. But there was something also very rejuvenating about it. Rejuvenating, maybe not rejuvenating, but just there was, it's like life, right? That you just feel like you're a part of life. So coming back from a trip and then getting back into the swing of things, only to be taken out of that swing because you get sick. And then knowing that the following week you're going to be crazed because you're going to have your little baby here. And I apologize. It's all loosening up in my chest and my throat. So I may cough. I apologize for that, but I just had to be here this morning to talk to all of you. In the midst of all of that, a family member passed away. And so yesterday was a funeral. And I was, you know, sitting there wondering, like, do I take my little Wyatt with me? And of course I had to. And he was an angel all day, right? So I've been from the high highs to the low lows and every point in between over this last week. And so it just prompts me to go, okay, well, if I'm experiencing this, there's one of two things happening. One, all of you are feeling the same things and being like this rag doll in your life, you know, up and down and all around, or you're about to. Sometimes I start to feel these things ahead of time. And then I end up, you know, being the voice of calm and reason during the time everybody else is going nutsy cuckoo, or I am thrown right in there with all of you and experiencing it at the same time. And, you know, that's just kind of the way this particular month is going. Remember, we spoke about this earlier in the month when it was Pluto conjunct the South Node, and that was followed then by Saturn conjunct the South Node, and life was in deconstruction, right? It was in destruction, and not because we've been bad or anything, you know, we're not being punished or there is karma involved in it, but it was as a way to be able to rebuild and reform our lives. So if you've been, you know, out of balance or your life's been expressed too much in one way or the other, then what you find yourself now is some of those things have crashed down. So from my own personal experience, what I saw is that my life had been pretty much skewed toward isolation. And I live on an island and I love it. Trust me, I love my little island. I love being home alone all day. I love working at home alone. But interesting how life keeps pulling me out and out and out. So I was looking at that. And then we have, I don't know how all of you did with Wednesday's Pluto turning into retrograde, but I had the oddest set of dreams. It would have been Thursday, or let's see, that was Wednesday, right? So Wednesday night, I went to sleep and Wyatt slept the whole night here at my house. He was just passed out, probably because he and grandma ran all day. but I ended up in this dream. And in this dream, I was sort of being pulled from one scene to another scene to another scene in my life. And every one of those scenes was about where my own parents did not show up for me in my life. And I was like, what is, I mean, And they were important things, like my baptism. I chose when I was 12 to join the Lutheran Church, and it was a social thing at the time for me. Obviously, as a 12-year-old, what's your main concern, right? Your friends. And where were my friends? Well, my friends were connected to this Lutheran church. And I kind of fell in love with the whole idea of spirit. And as part of that, in my early days, I was following sort of this religious idea. And so I chose, me and my little sister, to get baptized. My parents didn't show up. So I'm showed that. Right? Who did show up for me was me. I showed up for me. My little sister showed up for me. The church or the congregation, my spiritual family showed up for me. And then I chose to take that next step. And in my dream, I go to confirmation. And confirmation in the Lutheran church is after several months worth of study. And it's a choice, right? You're now being asked to be a grown-up in the church and to take your rightful place, your spiritual place amongst your spiritual family. And again, my parents did not show up, right? They did not show up for me. By now, I'm in high school. And in high school, I chose to be a cheerleader. And do you think my parents wouldn't even drive me to practice, much less show up at a game or at any of the events that I was in? And I'm like, okay, who's showing up for me here? And it was these people, you know, the peripheral people in my life that were showing up for me. And I haven't unpacked this dream completely because I just kept going on and on and on. And who showed up at my wedding, right? Who showed up at the birth of my children? And all of these things, right? All of these events. And that is the psychological power of a planet like Pluto that turns retrograde, because he drags you into that underworld, that underbelly. And at that point, you're digging through what's going on the inner planes. Now, I don't know yet what all of that really means. To me, I woke up and I was just sort of interested in why it was that I was taken on that journey. And with Wyatt here and a funeral yesterday and, you know, get just too many things going on, I haven't really had time, like I said, to unpack that. But I would bet that some of you are having that same thing, right? Where you're either having these deep dreams, they may be just these recollections that are coming up. I was literally sitting and watching a cartoon the other night with Wyatt, tears streaming down my face for no apparent reason other than the joy that was going on in this cartoon. I was feeling like I was losing it, right? You're losing it, Janet. You're crying at a cartoon. But the emotions and the depth of the things that we're going through right now are just raw and very near the surface and need to be released, need to be brought up and released, or at the very minimum, as an understanding, as a gateway or portal to understanding more about your own inner landscape, your own inner psychology. And that's that power. So Pluto is now retrograde all the way until August. No, was it August or October 3rd? And so we have 5 months now, basically, right? April to May, June, July, August, September, early October. So 5 months and some days of that inner plane being sort of scoured out, transformed. That's the, you know, Pluto represents power. Pluto was discovered as a planet at the same time that the atom bomb was being built. And that was in 1933. And it was only a few years after that that the first of those bombs was used against humanity in World War II. And what we see then is a planet being discovered usually follows the lines of consciousness that's developing at that time. What was developing at that time was the very powerful death and rebirth energies and our recognition as people that we could literally destroy the planet and we could destroy one another with the click of a button, right? A dropping of a bomb. And a lot of that is, you know, pure raw destruction. But as you know, any of you who have seen or lived through, you know, floods, fires, hurricanes, volcanic eruptions, I think in, you know, the, my part of the world, Mount St. Helens and the eruption and the consequent rebuilding of that whole ecosystem is a very good image for us to take with us, that out of destruction, rebirth happens, right? Even a forest that's destroyed in a fire is in the process of rebuilding, because a lot of those trees don't release their seeds without fire. So we have a lot going on. And on top of this, then the nodes also shifted their place on Thursday. So we have Pluto turned retrograde. Then on Thursday, we have the nodes changing gates. So this is specific to human design. And in human design, the nodes had been sitting at gate 62 and 61. The north node at 62, which is about looking for the details, seeing the big and seeing the small. So basically, what's the whole picture of what's going on? And the gate 61, the south node, had been at the gate in Gene Keys that we call the gate of psychosis, in the shadow, right? The shadow, the part that we don't see clearly, is that we've been living in the shadow of psychosis, right? Psychosis being that crazy thing where we're out of our minds, and where we get into our minds is the wrong place to be using our minds. So we've been dealing with that energy, that craziness of those two things together for a while now. Now they've moved on into new energies, and it's that shift period of time that is usually the craziest. So yesterday, today, tomorrow, even into, I think it's going to, the craziness is going to take us into the new moon next week or on May 4th. So a week from this Saturday. And the new energies with the nodes are about new beginnings, right? New beginnings. The south node is sitting at the gate 54, which we've become familiar with here on the in the Meta Cafe, because it was the gate that Saturn was sitting at for a long time. Well, first Pluto was sitting there, and then Saturn sat there. And it's about the search for a new beginning in terms of, what are your goals and your ambitions? And where is it that you want life to take you now? And this is, when we study human design in depth, and if some of you who've been my coaching clients, you know, when we dive through your life purpose, we come to this point where we take you on your mystical journey. And the mystical journey, even though it's its own circuit within your human design, really has its beginnings at the gate 54, which is where we enter in as human beings, trying to discover the connection between spirit and matter, the intersection, the crossroads of you as a human being in the physical, but the energy of spirit that's embodying you, right? That you are embodying. And the gate 54 then takes us on that journey to enlightenment, or it begins that journey of enlightenment. It is also a gate where we end up in the shadow dealing with the energy of greed, you know, and there's a lot going on here now in these nodes, right? We're turning the corner and potentially starting something new, a new paradigm, right? If we're looking at life as a spiral, we're up on the next rung of that spiral now as it relates to the north node, which is destiny, right? Where's destiny calling you to? And the south node reminding us that where we've been isn't pretty. And what shadow are we dealing with now? And how are we going to mitigate that shadow? How are we going to elevate ourselves out of that shadow? And I'm just checking to see, yeah, because the gate 54, ultimately in its gift, its highest expression is ascension, right? Gate 54 was the highest expression of ascension. The lowest expression is greed. So we, at least at first, we trip over the idea of greed, and we trip over our own immaturity as co-creators on the planet. Can I say that? Our immaturity as co-creators on the planet. As I've told you guys before, when I was talking about the Mayan calendar, it was really not about so much of the calendar's ending and all of this, you know, kind of dramatic stuff. It was more about how we were evolving with our consciousness. And our consciousness, as we were evolving, was leading us to the point in time where we assumed the calendar end to a time where the puppet strings were cut. And then we're floundering a bit during that time, right? The puppet strings are cut is tantamount to becoming 18 years old, going off to college, and you no longer have the supervision of your parents, right? And now I go a little bit crazy. I go a little bit, you know, nutsy cuckoo, free to do whatever it is I want to do. And I may do some damage in the meantime while I'm getting my chops. And then school starts, right? And now I may be seeing that I have to be responsible, right? This isn't just as all fun and drinking and playing all night, right? I actually have assignments I have to get done. I have to be at class in the morning. And if I don't, then my grades reflect that. There's not mom and dad there every night reminding me to do my homework. So it is a maturing process. So in 2011 to 2012, when those puppet strings got cut, we were just sort of now free to be these co-creators. And what we've co-created is chaos, turmoil, craziness, right? So now things maybe begin to settle down. Now, does that mean the outer world reflects that right away? Likely not, right? Because there's always a lag time between the energy of our inner world and what we create in the outer world. So here we have some time, right, to take on the inner planes and make some course changes within us. And then we will ultimately begin to see those course corrections in that outer world. That is what this is all about. These changing nodes, the energies that they're shifting through, is about how are we maturing to the next level. Right. And it is a process. It's not something that happens overnight. It can happen overnight within you as an individual by your choice. Right. But the reflection of it takes some time. And that's just due plain and simply by the density of the world that we find ourselves in. Right. And we need that time. We need that space before we actually create something. So, all right. So that's going on. Let's take a look at today. Let me run some comments here and see how everybody's doing. I've missed you all. Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, Debbie Hedden. Good morning, Vanita. Good morning, Mimi and Laura and Vicky and Natasha. It's good to see you. It's been a roller coaster at school. I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that at all. Suzanne says Pluto retrograde was tough for her. Yep, I believe you wholeheartedly. It was not an easy one. Patricia, I'm just really tired. Patricia, I got you, girl. I use the word weary. I've never used that word maybe a handful of times in my life. But like I told my husband last night, I'm just weary. Like getting up and moving one foot in front of the other was even a trial for me. I would step down on my foot and it would hurt and it would just send pain all the way up through my body. And I'm like, what is this? Well, so much is going on and so much is happening that your body's just a reflection of some of that inner wounding that's going on as well. Suzanne, Linda, good morning to you. Diana, good morning. Londa, good morning, sweetie. And so anybody, if I've missed you, I apologize. Lynn Goldberg, hello. So if I've missed you out there, good morning to you. And thank you for joining me this morning. It's good to be back. So let's talk about what's happening today. I believe for all of us, the weekend is a quieter one. And as soon as I say that, of course, all H-E-double-Q breaks out. But what I want you guys to take away from this weekend is that you did not make any big impractical decisions. Right? You didn't jump into any craziness and you slowed your roll a bit because the biggest news for this particular weekend is Mars squaring Neptune. Mars in Gemini squaring Neptune in Pisces. And, you know, Mars in Gemini has lots of ideas and is, you know, rolling quick. And it can sometimes leap into things before, right, take you in on an action step before you really think it through. And Neptune, of course, takes it and just makes it harder to see clearly. And I want you to understand then that anything that you attempt to do this weekend that might be different or out of the blue would probably not be in your best interest. So, because you won't be seeing it clearly. So you might be inspired to make some big changes. And then later on, you're left going, now, why did I do that? Right? What did I take there? Why did I, you know, do that. So no big decisions this weekend. Just enjoy the interplay of the people in your life. The moon is in Aquarius all weekend, at least until late afternoon on Sunday. Aquarian energy is inventive and innovative and quirky. So, you know, it's social. So have some fun and play. Leave the big decisions until later in as we move into next week or even into the new moon next Saturday. And the reason I say that is we may have mistaken motivation right now, right? We may think that we're heading in this one direction and all of the signs are pointing us in that direction. But what we failed to see is the true signs are leading us somewhere else. So be very careful. If you've been working on something big, and most of us have, you know, I don't know what I've been working on, just keeping up day to day, I guess, is what I've been really working on. I can hear my cat snoring behind me. It's so cute. I don't know if you guys can see her. There she is, all curled up on my bed and she's snoring. Obviously, I put her to sleep. At any rate, so try not to make big decisions because your mind is clouded and your actions may lead you to a place that isn't correct for you. Watch for those impractical. If it wouldn't have seemed practical to you to do this earlier in the week, it isn't practical for you to do it this weekend. So just watching for that, right? Also know, though, if you take some time this weekend, that there may be incredible insights and ahas and epiphanies, revelations even, not because the moon is doing anything weird, but because Aquarian energy is sometimes tapping us into things that we wouldn't normally think of, right? So insights, right? Write them down. I would have my, you know, notepad or my phone with my, you know, voice recorder close at hand all through the weekend, as you may have some really incredible ahas or ideas come to you. Just don't take action on them yet. Hold. let's see. Today, the sun and the moon are in their square, their final square before new, which is the crisis of consciousness, right? So here we are maybe of two minds, right? A square is a 90 degree angle. It is challenging. It is a time in the moon's cycle with the sun where we may come up against, you know, internal struggles, about our beliefs or about what other people have told us we could or we couldn't do. And this is a point to take. This is a time in the cycle for you to take some time for yourself and consider, right? To, you know, just plumb those depths and understand what is going on before you take those actions, right? So another little piece there that tells us it's not maybe the correct time to really take action on big things. So Cassildra, good morning. It's good to see you out there. Linda, weary fits how I have been feeling. Good word to describe, better than exhausted. And good morning, Michelle. It's good to see you. And Debbie says, I so agree, Linda. Good morning, beautiful one. Thank you, Cassildra. You're so sweet. You're so good for my ego, considering this has been a hell week for me. So weary. I think sometimes, you know how when we're living our busy lives, right? We're busy doing and going and doing and going and just all, you know, wash, rinse, and repeat, that we don't often take time to really consider what it is we're doing and why. And then the universe comes along and you catch a cold, a nasty one, right? Where you're just like down and out. Or you know, something happens to pull you in. And I think that may be what's going on, is that we've just gotten caught up in the doing, the going, the doing and going, and we haven't really connected very much with the beingness. And a part of what I found myself in this weekend was just the being. This whole week has just been in the beingness, where you're not feeling good enough to do anything, right? I don't know how I managed to get the weekly blog out, because that was like the last thing that I could do before I just was like done. And then I had to recoup my energy as quickly as I could because I was going to have Wyatt. then while I had Wyatt here, all I could do was what I could do, right? It was caring for him. It was in the now. Every moment was in the now, right? As he's running from one thing to another, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to keep up with this little guy. So I found myself very much in the now, doing exactly what it was that was in front of me, as opposed to all of the other times in my life where I feel like I'm so far into the future, right, that I'm not even clear about what's happening right here in this moment, in my body, in my soul, in my mind, in my heart, in my emotions. And I found myself finding every little nook and cranny that I hadn't looked at during this time. And it just left me weary, world weary. And I'm going to take some time. I mean, I've got to get back to work. I've got things I've got to do, but it did give me a new appreciation for quiet and for that peace, right? That just sitting back and not having to do anything. So there's part of that. Although I'm already gearing up for the things I have to do, I can still sort of tap into that peace as it's still with me. From that moment, I call it bedgasm, right? You get into bed and you just snuggle into the covers and it's like, oh, that just release of all the tension in your body as you just get to release everything. And that is kind of what we all need. We need that time to release all the stress, all the things that have been coiled up within us, and just be, right? This isn't the time for big decisions. We still have one more big retrograde to manage, and that's on Monday when Saturn turns retrograde. And then we prepare for something. I'm going to bring you a really interesting guest on Monday afternoon. So I will be with you Monday morning for the daily, and then Monday afternoon, I have a guest, one of Londa's friends that's coming on to talk to us about WESAC. And WESAC, and I haven't really done a lot of research on it, but it has a lot to do with returning to that tranquil place, that inner plane, and setting the stage for what comes next, right? And being at peace and serenity. So I've never really dug into WESAC. I've never participated in any of the WESAC ceremonies. And this will be really exciting for us to learn more about it and find out how we can tap in and what does it all mean and how do we benefit from it. So I expect that as we chat with, I want to say her name is Amaya, on Monday, we'll be able to learn more about that and how to use that sort of energy to help us moving forward from here on. Now, that same day, of course, Saturn changes direction. And Saturn changing direction, again, happens every year, and it happens for an extended period of time, for 4 months, very much like Jupiter, 4 months. And we've had Jupiter, Pluto, and now Saturn this month, all changing direction, slowing down into retrograde. Again, we're being moved inward. We're restructuring the inner planes. We are reforming our inner world, our inner dynamic. And what I think it is that we are really doing is we are reconnecting. I have this vision in my mind of, remember those old fashioned switchboards? When I was in high school, my high school was built in like 1929 at the time. It had that old fashioned switchboard. And I used to love to work there in the afternoons and, you know, get to switch. You pull the cord and you plug it in and that connects the call. Very old fashioned. I feel like that is what's happening to us right now, as this very physical being is taking those cords and plugging them into the divine, right? And Saturn is helping us to build that connection and form that connection even more powerfully. And I say reconnecting because the connection was always there. It's always been there. But over the course of our lives, we've sort of forgotten that connection. So now we're actually having to consciously take that cord and plug it in. And there may be lots of them, right? Plugging in the physical to the spiritual and becoming whole. And it is the retrogrades that help us do that. It slows things down and causes us to look more inward. Now, it doesn't mean that there's not action that's happening in the outer world, by the way, because that doesn't stop. But it does cause us to go in, look at it from a different point of view, a new place, right? So Cassildra, oh my God, we have three planets in retrograde. That's explaining a lot. not just three planets, but three biggies, right? Two of them in the same sign, Capricorn, that's Pluto, and then Saturn on Monday will change to retrograde. Jupiter in Sagittarius. So Jupiter's the only one, it's sort of the outlier. It is holding us to growth on the inner planes, while Saturn and Pluto are the duo that are doing the deconstruct and reconstruct thing altogether. You know, it's like, you know, for those of you, almost all of you are women. I'm not sure if Tom's out there this morning, but almost all of you have experienced pregnancy, right? And that inner focus during those 9 months that you have as your body is busy on the inner planes doing a whole lot. It's, you're rebuilding, you're building and forming a whole new life within you. And I kind of feel like that's maybe we're all pregnant at the moment, right? Building something new within us that will eventually be what the outer world begins to reflect back to us as we move further into 2019 and even into 2020. And 2020 looks to be like a very interesting year. I use that word interesting because I don't want to say it looks like a very crazy year because we've had crazy years, right? I just feel like 2020 is where we're going to begin to see the changes, you know, that the, you know, we're climbing the hill and we're going to be up at that top and we're going to start that climb down and things get easier after that, hopefully. And I use this time as a reawakening within your own self, right? Retrogrades are great for that because they move us inward and reawakening. And maybe it'll happen through your dreams, right? Where you dream, like the dream I shared with you, where it's like, why am I being shown all of these things? And there was a gentle showing of it, by the way. This wasn't like, let me drag you through the dirt and stomp on your head and make you feel all those bad feelings again. It wasn't that. It was an observation sort of thing, observing these points in my life where, you know, people weren't showing up. The people that should have been showing up for me weren't showing up for me. And why was that? And like I said, I don't have that answer yet. But something like that may be occurring where it's through your dreams. It may be showing up in your relationships, right? Where you may notice something that's being reflected back to you from your loved ones or from your work companions or through your friends. And what is it that they're showing you? And not to get uptight or upset or, you know, just be the observer and, you know, take in what it is that that has for you as meaning, because the retrogrades are showing us something that's not quite right for us on the inner planes. And we get to course correct. We get to change. We get to move through this energy. Now, some of you may know that you have Saturn, Pluto, Jupiter, maybe even. I know I have Saturn, Pluto. No, I have Saturn and Jupiter, both retrograde in my natal chart. And so those things sometimes are very powerful awakenings in some way when they turn retrograde. It's like when Mercury retrograde happens, I'm actually doing better than most people because I have Mercury retrograde in my own chart. So for me, Saturn and Jupiter retrograde are actually going to be better times for me as I tap into what's going on perhaps with the collective. And also my Saturn and Jupiter are under conjunction. So they're both together here, hanging out, doing the same thing, right? Leading me to awakening. So some of you may have that happening where this is very easy and smooth, wearying to be sure, but not like, you know, hard knocks kind of things. Others of you may find yourself with some hard knocks. And if that happens to you, my heart goes out to you, but don't look at it in the negative. Look at it as, what is this showing me about my life? Right? If it's something in the outer world. All right. Aha moments. Cassildra, Pluto, Capricorn, sixth house. Me too. So what's been happening to me? Health issues. By the way, when I come back from Vegas, I have a skin cancer in my ear that I have to have surgery on. It's a cosmetic surgery because they're going to have to take a piece of my face to fill in for my ear. So that's, you know, one of those things I'm looking forward to. It seems like health has been a focus for me in a way that it hasn't been in years. And I'm not particularly thrilled with it, but I also have to go through it, right? I just have to go through this and be grateful every moment that it's one little spot in my ear and not an organ that's gone awry. And I have to be so grateful that my body is healthy enough and that my immune system is working through whatever this cold thing is, this challenge I have. So there's a lot to be grateful for in the process. But when you have Pluto, and I also have Saturn, I bet you do too, moving through that sixth house, it's putting the focus on regenerating your health. Regenerating. So that's a better word perhaps for all of us. What are you regenerating in your life? Right? So you might already have this, you know, sense of what's regenerating in your life. So, and in Cassildra and my case, it is our health, right? The connection to body. So without a healthy body, it cannot be the temple for your soul that it needs to be in order to have you do the work that you need to do. So we have to be very body aware at this point, Cassildra, in terms of what's going on. So whatever house that these players are in for you as individuals is where you must focus on that regenerative energy. And by the way, I totally forgot I even did this. I put a new reading up on my website, and I also put it in the blog post this week, a discounted transit reading to find out where your Saturn and Pluto and Jupiter are retrograde so that it can help you focus on where your regenerative energies are and where it is that you can restore yourself, where it is that regeneration is not even optional, but definitely a need to, right? So I believe I priced it at $89. Let me check my website real quickly. Good God, I totally forgot I did that. I must have been in the dream world when I did it. And I'm hoping that I'm not making that up or having dreamt that either. Oh, there it is. On my website, special offer reading. And it is a retrograde reading for $89. If you want one for you and a friend, you can get two for $133. So there you have that. So it's available on my website, or if you follow my blog, you got that link in the blog post. Okay. Anything else going on for everybody? Linda, I'm also having... What? Oh. Oh my gosh, I totally read that wrong, Linda. She says, I'm also having an abortion of all the unnecessary things in my home and life. I was like, what? How can you possibly have an abortion? Okay, gotcha. Sounds like the opportune moment for you to be doing this. Mimi says, yes, preparing to focus with new and old tools and refine my work. Stepping back from a good portion of the outer world craziness for my personal balance. Absolutely. You know, that's the, you know, I do, Cassildra, your chart and my chart must be built sort of the same way. I wonder how old you are, because my fifth house is in Sagittarius and Jupiter's there as well. So interesting, just interesting connection there. What was I going to say? Oh, so I find myself so weary that I couldn't even tell you what's happening in the outer world right now. I don't know. I'm vaguely aware that there was this Mueller report that was released or partly released. I don't even know. I couldn't tell you how the immaturity of our president has been playing out on the screen. I couldn't tell you because I've just not been in the news, but I'm sure it's crazy. I'm sure it's interesting. I just haven't had the fortitude to be able to watch that, but I will probably take some time and look at that, because I like to see sometimes what is that outer world showing me. I like to see what my emotional reaction is, because my emotional reaction tells me what it is that I still have to work on in me. Right? If something that Trump is doing, or anybody else that, for that matter, in the world is doing, and it triggers me, right, where I feel like it's being unfair, it's not justice, it's ugly, or, you know, I have an emotional reaction, I'm like, okay, where in me am I not quite set with this, right? Otherwise, I wouldn't have that reaction. It would be me just observing, oh, there he goes again, right? That kind of thing. Or, oh gosh, haven't we learned enough yet? But and if you have that emotional trigger, then it's sort of a sign that you're working on something within you. So using it in that way, as opposed to living and breathing it. You know, I was thinking the other day, I'm totally off topic now, but I was thinking the other day about the number of people that are probably older than me. I'm 57. I'm thinking people that are maybe in their 60s, 60 to 70 years old. Primarily, I'm thinking of this old neighbor I had where I could see out my kitchen window directly into his living room window. And what did I always see on? Fox News. And when I think about some of the older people that I know right now, every time you go to their houses, what's on? Fox News or CNN or I don't know what other news things are on. And when you're so caught up in that, when you're watching that every day, or when you're caught up in the irritation of what's going on in the outer world, it does tend to obscure what's going on for you personally, because you're looking at it. It's almost like pulling you into the victim game, right? We are so done with victim savior and blame game energies. Remember, we've already done that. Chiron's already been through all of that. We don't need that anymore. So I try to stay away from that nightly news, because I always know too, I'm only getting part of the story, right? I don't have the ability to see into all of that. So if I could offer any advice right now, it would be observe, but don't immerse. Do not immerse yourself in that outer world. Immerse yourself in you, your family. What's important, right? What's important? What do you live by? What do you love by? Immerse yourself there, because that's where the juice, the joy, the love lies, not in all of that other stuff, right? So that will help. Kathy Miller, good morning to you. She says, I don't watch the news. Half of it's lies and tired of the drama. Good grief. I've had enough crap this week. Back on track. Good for you, girl. Cassildra says, pay attention. Yeah, but don't immerse yourself, right? Just don't immerse yourself in it. I was immersed in Wyatt Love this week, and oh my gosh, I found myself holding him last night before his parents got here, and I just wanted to cry because I wouldn't have that. So now I have the memory to immerse myself in. Good stuff, right? Let's draw some cards and see what we can expect. And if anybody, I only have 10 minutes here. Holy cow. I'm going to do a quick card reading for us for the weekend. And then I'll be open to do a couple of card readings. Not as many maybe as last week. Cassildra, would you like a card reading? You haven't been on with us in a while. So it would be my pleasure to do that for you. And anybody else, tap in. Just say, yay me. And I will do that. But for right now, I'm pulling a card for the wider collective. And I haven't even touched my Oracle card since last Friday with you all. Ooh. Can you guys see that? It says, a change in the wind. You have the little zebra with a gazebo on his back, card number 12, which is a 3, which mirrors this universal year, because this is a universal year 3, and change in the wind. So this is not for you, Cassildra. This is just for us collectively. I will still do a card reading for you. So let's take a look. Laura, I got you. Londa, I got you. So let me write this down before I forget. So Cassildra, Laura, Londa, who else? Somebody else said me. Linda. Oh, I already wrote. No. Linda. I thought I saw your name there. Okay, great. So a change in the wind. Let's take a look at what that card means. It is card numbers 12, like I said, and it is a sense that unseen change has been initiated, preparation for a storm, awareness that your plans are not on firm ground, feeling a shift, uncertainty about which direction the winds will blow. So and it was right side up, so I'm going to read the Oracle's message. It's human nature to yearn for certainty and resist change, to want the world to remain consistent, like a zebra's stripes, yet nothing in human experience is black and white, nor will anything remain static. The one thing guaranteed is change. Now is a time of transformation as outer conditions are temporarily moving out of sync with your desires and expectations. Stay the course and remember that even storms serve to clear the air, scatter seeds, and nourish the soil for better things ahead. Life is about to get interesting, as if it hasn't already been, Anticipate it with curiosity as you wonder what is coming in on the shifting winds. The unknown is where the magic lies. Yay. And I'm going to read the prosperity part of this message. In this, the wisdom of the oracle, the way the oracle is set up is there is a message, the oracle message, then there's a relationship message, and then there's a prosperity message. And that you read each one dependent on what the question was. So typically what I'm doing in the morning with you guys is I'm reading just the oracle's message. Because, you know, it's a general, like, you know, what is it we need to know, that kind of thing. So today, what I'm going to do, because Mars, my memory's still on baby memory, Mars has moved into the gate 45, which is a opposite from the gate 21, which is where Venus is sitting. So Venus and Mars are completing a channel called the money line. So there's a money focus for us for the next few days and values focus for us for the next few days. You know, a resources focus. And so that makes me think about abundance. It makes me think about money. It makes me think about how do we use our resources wisely. And, it, you know, today's Arbor Day, go plant a tree. We've had Earth Day this week, so there's been a lot of focus on how do we take care of this planet? How do we maintain good stewardship of everything? So in this particular week, it or the next few days at least for sure, it is really about this idea of abundance and prosperity. So I want to read the prosperity message as well. It says, as you endeavor to create a prosperous life, you may encounter unexpected reversals that cause you to shift directions. This is a good thing, so there is nothing to fear. Perhaps an opportunity you sought went to someone else. Perhaps you've pursued something that you suddenly realize is not in your highest good. You might not be 100% clear on where you need to go, but you are certain that things are not going as planned. Circumstances are not in your control right now. Wait it out. All will be well. Even better, actually, trust. Trust. I don't know if you guys heard me on the radio in Australia on Tuesday with Annette McCoy on the Angel Heart Radio. I was talking about the move of the Black Moon Lilith, and I may have to bring that to you all this next week before I leave again and talk to you about that, because part of the shadow that we are going to be embracing for the next 9 months has to do with trust, faith, and surrender to a higher power. So we'll be dealing with that collectively for a while as well. All right, Miss Casildra, let me do a reading for you. And so the order is Casildra, Laura, Londa, Linda. And then I'll check again and see if anybody else has one. So Casildra, this is for you from The Wisdom of the Oracle by Colette Baron-Reed. By the book, card number 11, a master number. The number of enlightenment, of illumination, of the light switch being turned on. And by the way, the planet Jupiter is sitting at the gate 11 in your human design. And it is about coming out, what is coming out of obscurity and into the light. And so obscurity being the shadow and enlightenment being the highest expression of it. So number 11, isn't that funny? We had 11 and 12. And these cards are quite well shuffled. So for you, Casildra, by the book means this: abiding by social rules, conformity, respecting cultural or family customs, or universal laws. So the oracle's message says the universe works within a structure of divine laws and principles that provides a framework for human experience and revolution. Evolution, not revolution. I don't know why I looked down and saw R. Evolution. The law of abundance, the law of prayer, the law of karma, the law of attraction, the law of thought, the law of compensation, and the law of nature are only a few that are known. These principles create perfect order and operate with a kind of precision beyond human understanding. Even revolution, and this time I mean revolution, has its place in universal law. Human beings, in turn, have their own laws and customs that vary from culture to culture and family to family. Laws keep social order and govern behavior, reflecting an instinctive understanding that harmony is important. This is a time to learn these laws and conform to them, rather than being the rebel and flouting them. When this card appears, submit to structure and follow the rules, even if they seem to make no sense. Release resistance, for universal laws will correct any disharmony. Open your eyes to those universal laws, and it will be easier to go by the book at this time. I hope that has meaning for you, Casildra. It's a great book. It's funny because immediately I feel resistance to that card. By the book. Okay, sure. So I hope that has, you know, some meaning for you. I also know that sometimes the universe, you know, needs us to stay within that form and structure while something else is being prepared, right? While something else is happening. And if we charge after, you know, something too soon, then we are out of sync and things don't happen in the way that they could have happened. So I'm just checking comments real quick. Thank you, Suzanne, for posting angel number 3 up. And you're very welcome, Casildra. Wow, Linda and Kathy just found leaks under the kitchen sink. And you guys are both the same age, which I find fascinating. About the same age anyway. Kathy and Colleen, good morning. Good to see you out there. So here we go. This is for Laura. So Laura, by the way, I also have my spirit animal deck handy. So if somebody wants me to pull a card from that, I can do that as well. And I'm feeling really dizzy right now. What is going on? Laura, is your world in turmoil? I didn't feel that with Casildra, but I feel that now. Really like, ooh. So this is sort of upside down. It's the card observer. It's card number 49, which is a 13, which is a 4. So here's what observer looks like right side up. Cute little fox looking up at the moon, but it was in protection. So let's see what that means for you, Laura. 49. Here we go. Observer, the essential meaning is perspective, objectivity, neutral observation from a distance. And she says, yes, very much in turmoil. Well, thank you. That explains my dizziness. So let's read what this has to say to you. So protection. Ever think sometimes your life options are suction cup to your face and you can't see beyond yourself? There's a big world out there, a multitude of potential realities that you're unable to perceive at present. So you're a little stuck, ? It's time to get advice from someone you trust, someone who has a better perspective on your circumstances. Other points of view are needed now before you move forward. Take heart, a beautiful vista is waiting for you to drink it in. You just need a little help widening your scope beyond your small self at this time. So I hope that helps. It's a difficult one because being the observer doesn't come natural, even though it is. It's our natural way to observe, but I don't know what that turmoil is about for you, but it's a possibility that maybe you've gotten it too close and you just need to step back. So hopefully that helps you as well. Londa, you're next. Suzanne, you're so cute. She says, along with astrology, I believe that card divination is your thing. I've always loved cards. Here's the deal, guys, girls, ladies. I've always known on some level that I'm psychic, but I have to have a tool. Otherwise, I don't feel like it's true. So astrology, numerology, any of the astrologies, all of these things are tools that help me access that so that I'll believe it. Because if someone were to have just told me your life here is, you're here to be a psychic, I would be like, uh-uh. Oh, and I got to tell you guys something. Ooh, this card just jumped out for you, Londa, and it's the card Yin, card number 2. And she came out right side up. So I got to tell you, I have a soon-to-be 16-year-old granddaughter, and that is who it is that we're celebrating when we go to Vegas next week. Her birthday's on May 4th, the new moon. So she comes up to me and she goes, "Grandma, it's all your fault." And I said, "What?" She said, "I'm having dreams that come true. And my mom says it's because of you." And I'm like, "I want you to go back to your mom and say it's all about you as well, because I remember my daughter as a very young girl telling me, 'Oh, grandma, grandma, grandma's coming today.'" And sure enough, I'd walk to the mailbox and there was a letter from grandma telling me she was going to be there. And it's something that must run in our family. And I just thought it was so funny that my granddaughter was like, "Grandma, this is your fault." Londa, Yin, "I know what this is all about, sister. I know what this is going to tell you. And I so agree. And I hope you'll take this message to heart." Okay. In a good way. It's a beautiful card, by the way. Look at all the pinks and the purples in there. And it's a receptacle of receiving, right? Yin, card number two. Okay. Yin, yin, yin. I can hear her in my head, Londa. I can just hear you in my head. "The essential meaning is the feminine principle of receptivity, letting someone else make the first move, gathering information and taking in cues, the art of conscious allowing." And the message is, this is a time of calculated receptivity as you gracefully await what is coming to you, ready to accept it when it appears. Yin does not involve frozen dreams or even resting, but rather consciously allowing things to flow to you, poised to receive the bounty that will be made available to you. It implies sensitivity as you alertly study the actions of others and contemplate how they will affect you and yours. Remember, you must make space for miracles to appear. Be the shaped, not the shaper, and you'll see how quickly your dreams manifest. I'm going to read the prosperity message here for you too, Londa. I don't know why I feel called to do that, but I'm just following the line here. "This is a time when the most effective action is to allow others to show you the way forward. Observe their behavior and follow their lead. Your desire to push through must take a back seat for now. Collaborate and offer your ideas rather than dictating what must happen. Let others come to you. It's important that they feel they have power now. Another meaning is about releasing your need to have things in the form you want. How do you want to feel basking in your success? Now allow the universe to show you the form. Yin is the sign of essence. Things may go more smoothly than you expect." Love that one. Love that card for you. Suzanne, thank you again for posting the Karmic 11 information for us. Suzanne, I love that you have that right at the ready for all of us every day. Londa, then it was going to be Linda. And Linda, this is for you. I hope that made sense for you, Londa, because as soon as I saw it, I was like, and not only did I see it, it just jumped. It was a jumper. So this one was like definitely saying it was for you. Just like this one is for Linda. Time for a nap. Card number six. Look at that, Linda. The little fox sleeping on the moon, right? It's time for a nap. And I'm not quite certain if this one came out upside down or this way. So I'm going to read sort of both. And it was card number 24. So that is a six. 24. Rest, rejuvenation, and renewal. Temporary non-action, allowing dreams to arise. Linda, you are a human being, not a human doing. Is it possible you're suffering from workaholism? Could you be the one who thinks it's your job to save everyone, to be there for everyone, and to go, go, go until you can barely see straight? You've gone as far as you can. You've worked hard and nourished people and projects. But now you are an empty well and have no reserves for others or for yourself. Don't let your ego keep you going at full speed when your body and spirit need rest. Exhaustion is calling you to stop what you're doing altogether and take a break. If you don't, the appearance of this card could portend a possible illness that stems from being totally overwhelmed. You will feel like a new person if you take that break. Do it now. So Linda and Kathy, since you both have had water leaks, I want to I want to remind you that what happens in our outer world is often a reflection, something for you to take note of. Where are you leaking energy, right? Where are you bleeding out, right? What needs to be, where do you need to put a patch over the leak, right? So I would say that maybe this card ended up being for both of you, because you both were around the same age. You're both having water leaks under the sink, so deep within something. So I would urge you both to look at that. Take a nap. Rest. Stop doing so much. All right. Did anybody else want a card reading? I'm actually at 9 o'clock right now. I'm just going to scroll back here, so bear with me while I check and see. She says she does need a nap. Take a nap. Do not delay. Camille, do you want a reading? Is that you telling me you want a reading? Jane Lester, good morning to you. Laura, okay, so okay, Kathy Miller, you did want a reading. I have a feeling that card was for both of you, for both you and Linda, Kathy, but let me just see what happens here. Imagine upside down. Imagine is card number, where's the card number? Oh, 22. So here's the card Imagine, but it was in protection. 20 is a 2. So it's about turning imagination into manifestation, creative thought, visualization, the power of aligning imagery and feelings, creativity, and illusions. So here's an additional message then for you, Kathy, and I would listen if I were you as well, Linda, since somehow you two are linked today. In protection, it says, illusions and wishful thinking rooted in a sense of lack have entered your life. Now may be the time to see things as they truly are and not as you hoped or imagined they would be. Release any fear. Then envision anew. Perhaps you are anticipating that something fearful might happen and recreating that image of disaster over and over in your mind. The universe responds to such projections, so be aware of this catastrophizing. No matter what, illusions and awfulizing are a misuse of imagination. Clear the inner slate and stay grounded, stay real. Only then can you truly have what you desire. I hope that makes sense to you, ladies. All righty. I think that's it for me. All right, Laura, thank you. I can only see one option now. Laura, if you need to have a chat, let me know. I would be happy to chat. And Jane says she has insomnia really bad. She says, OMG, I have a water leak under the sink. And everything you just said applies to me too. It's amazing. And Jane, I've never seen you here live in the morning. So, I mean, isn't that interesting? The first morning that I really see you here, you may have listened in the background and I just hadn't seen you. So here you are. And it's the same very day that I would mention, or two people on the show would mention, a water leak that you are also engaged in. So there's magic that happens, you know, when we get together like this in community and we, you know, seek to find answers and we open our minds and our hearts to something that's, you know, beyond what we can just see or sense with our five physical senses. That whole sixth sense opens up, and here we have the same thing. So I'm glad that message got through to you too, Jane. And thank you so much for joining us this morning and sharing that. And thank all of you for joining me. Suzanne just put up some information about water, the body rulership, the abdomen, and human emotion. It's unlike fire. Its magnetic qualities flow through the core of the water element. So take a moment and read through the chat stream, and you could see what Suzanne wrote there about water. All right, that is it for me. So don't forget, Monday I will be coming to you twice, once in the morning to talk about astrology, and likely we'll be talking more about Saturn's retrograde and what we might have coming up next week. And then in the afternoon, I will be bringing on a guest with Londa and Amaya talking to us about WESAC. What does that mean? How do we celebrate? All of that good stuff. I've wanted to know more about this many different years, and this is the first time I've actually had that opportunity. So there must be something really magical in it for us that this would pop up right now. All right. So take care, everybody. Have a wonderful day. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday. Bye.